What a gospel to contemplate in these trying times. Go back and read it this week. It's the 11th chapter of John, the very beginning. John 11, 1 to 45. Go back, pray with it this week. Let's get right to it though, tonight. What did Jesus really come to do as he descended from heaven to take on human flesh? To be a nice guy, to teach us an ethical way of living, to inspire us to be the best version of ourselves? No, not even close. All of those things are fine in and of themselves, but none of them approach the real reason why Jesus came. Jesus Christ came to conquer death in all its forms. And if you haven't heard that, then you haven't heard the gospel. I remember being in church for years as a young adult, through high school and through college, and then even after college, never really hearing that truth. Most of what I heard were reductions of the gospel to moral norms, to a certain way of being in the world, living in the world, doing good things in the world. And a lot of it, quite honestly, was diluted down to Jesus helps us be nice, and then if we're nice, we'll be happier. But friends, nice is not enough. And happiness isn't strong enough to weather the storms of this life. We need things made of sterner stuff. Nice and happiness, neither of those two things even come close to the central point of why Jesus came. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Now since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in them. See, Jesus shares in flesh and blood. He takes on our humanity. The word becomes flesh. And that's his closeness to us. That's what we celebrated last Wednesday, the solemnity of the Annunciation. Jesus comes close to us. He truly is human. But then the author goes on. He likewise shared in them that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. That, friends, is the message of the gospel. Jesus came to conquer death by dying, so that we might be free from every slavery that comes from being afraid of death. Jesus Christ came to conquer death. I want you to think about that statement. More importantly, I want you to pray about that statement throughout this week. Because death is real. How could we not be thinking about death in these times? Every day the numbers go up, and they will continue to do so. See, this virus has shattered our illusion that we are immortal apart from God. Friends, we're not. We are mortal beings, and death will come for all of us. And so it would behoove us in this time to reflect on the reality of death. Death hits us, and it hits us hard. And last week, as we heard in the 23rd Psalm, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that fear of death, which is understandable, that makes us subject to all sorts of slaveries. The great Bishop Barron down in California, he said today that in some ways, every sin can be traced back to our fear of death. That's worth pondering. Every sin can be traced back to our fear of death, that we cling to something that makes us feel alive, that makes us think we can ward off death. And oftentimes, the clinging to that rather than the laying down of our life is precisely what leads us into sin. Death is real. Death will come for each one of us. Now, what does God do about this, though? What does God do Well, friends, he wades right into the reality of death. He experiences it. He confronts it. See, I don't know if we really know who Jesus is, especially if we've reduced him to a moral teacher, just one good person among many who can lead us up a spiritual mountain where every path leads to the same destination. That's not who Christ is. He's utterly different. In Greek iconography, if you look at Jesus, you'll see that oftentimes he is clothed with a red tunic, and then he has a blue cloak that wraps around him. Those colors are significant. The red is a color of divinity. The blue is a color of humanity. It's why Our Lady so often is seen in art in blue, because her humanity is uncompromised. Jesus, red and blue, divinity and humanity. He is fully God and fully human. Friends, he's fully human, and this gospel passage shows his humanity. See, he feels the loss that Mary and Martha feel. He feels the loss of his own friend. You can imagine what must have moved in his heart when he heard Mary and Martha both say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." If you had been here. How many people are asking that question right now as their loved ones struggle with this virus or as they've lost loved ones? Lord, where are you? If only you had been here. And Jesus twice is described as being perturbed, troubled in spirit. And plant a flag there because we'll come back to it. He's moved. He's not a distant, cold God. He's moved. He weeps at the tomb of his friend. Anyone who has ever lost a loved one knows that that type of weeping is categorically different than any other human sorrow. See, he feels our pain. He knows our fear. He understands our sense of loss. And yet with him, there's something more. Because as good as it is to be able to pray to a God who understands us and who's compassionate and understands our human weakness, Jesus is more than just a comforting presence. He does something about the reality of death. He takes it on. He confronts it. See, that two times that Jesus was described as being perturbed and troubled, the Greek opens up a whole new reality. The verb there is brimaomai, brimaomai. It literally means to snort with anger, to be indignant. You can see Jesus' spirit rising up as he begins to do battle with death. And of course that victory will be won finally and forever with his own death on the cross, but this is the time where he begins to confront death and the power of his divinity becomes apparent. It begins to manifest itself in and through his humanity. He says something that would have shocked everyone. It would shock us today, 4 days after someone dies. Take away the stone. Take away the stone. Can you imagine what that must have sounded like in the ears of the people who were with Jesus? Martha, ever practical, ever pragmatic, says, "Lord, surely there'll be a stench." Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And so they do. And he cries out, he thunders, "Lazarus, come out." And this is a word of absolute authority because it comes from the Word of God, the Word made flesh, the same Word through whom the universe is created. He speaks, and he speaks with absolute authority, "Lazarus, come out. And the dead man comes out. Because Jesus' words are not simply descriptive. Jesus' words effect reality. He raises the dead man because he has power even over death. And then he says, untie him and let him go. And Lazarus, who was bound, is set free. You see, friends, it's not just that Jesus is close to us and that he understands us. It's also that he's God. He has the power to completely transform our human reality, immersing all of it, including human death, into his divine life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's what he says to Martha. Do you believe this? Do you? Do I? Everything about this period we are living in changes if we actually believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Everything changes if we believe that. So make an act of faith. Jesus, I do believe that. And if you're not sure, pray the great prayer of the Father whom Jesus helped when his son was possessed by a demon. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe that. You're the resurrection and the life. Now help my unbelief. Conquer the parts of my heart and my mind that don't yet believe. Give me the gift of faith. And he will. Because Jesus Christ, who loves us more than we could ever imagine, is Lord. Dominus in Latin. It's where we get the word dominate from. He's not a weak God. He dominates death. Nothing, not even death, can separate us from him and the power of his love. So, brothers and sisters, in this time when we might feel tied up and bound physically because we can't do things we once thought we would always be able to do, tied up and bound socially as we're separated from friends, tied up and bound emotionally with fears and anxieties, and how understandable that is at this time, but also finally tied up and bound with sin, which is the ultimate enslavement, to us the Lord draws near. He comes in his humanity with the compassion of understanding our humanity and how frail we all are. But friends, do not forget, he comes with the authority of God, the power of God, the divine life which death has no power over. And he calls us by name, just as he called Lazarus by name. He calls us by name to leave those tombs and to experience his life even now. How blessed are we to hear him call us by name and call us into his life. Amen.